Well, I want to share with you just a little bit about who I am and my journey coming back to Colorado, but I want to begin with a word of prayer this morning. So let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, we are bound together, people of different backgrounds and different experiences, together in the gospel. You bind us together, and you've called us out of the world that we might go back into the world and that we might be people who touch the lives of others, Father, just by doing life together with them and sharing with them, as a song that we sang this morning, sharing what you have done for us. Father, I'm grateful for this church and for its witness in this place. And I'm grateful for all of the people who are here this morning, that we might glean a greater understanding of the partnership that you have called all of us into, and that every person, regardless of who they are, regardless of how long they've been in the kingdom, they have a vital and irreplaceable place in your work. And we thank you for that. We pray, Father, that you will unite us together as we look at your word, as we study your word, as we talk about our partnership together in you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a little bit about, again, where we come from. Sally and I have been married 42 years. We have four children, and probably even more important than that, we have two grandchildren. So I get a sense, looking across the auditorium, that we can all appreciate the wonder of grandchildren, right? We get to spoil them. We get to send them home. And so we're doing our best to try to do that. Well, Sally is a native of Boulder. I was born in Southern California when I was about 8. My folks divorced, and Mom remarried and relocated to Lafayette, Colorado. If you don't know where that's at, it's East Boulder County, Colorado. We used to refer to Boulder as 10 square miles surrounded by reality. And I was there just a couple weeks ago, and it is still 10 square miles surrounded by reality. The Lord has taken us on a journey. I was saved at Mountain View Southern Baptist Church. In fact, both of us were in Lafayette. I felt the call to ministry there, went to Colorado Christian University, graduated from there, went to Midwestern Seminary, and then the Lord proceeded to take us across the country. We pastored 5 years in Missouri, came back to Colorado, pastored 7 years at Trinity Baptist Church in Aurora, Colorado, and then the Lord took us out into the wilderness. Not quite the international mission field, but very, very close, where we went to California for 16 years. I served as a senior pastor at at Arbor Christian Fellowship for 6 years, and then the Lord transitioned us into a denominational role where I got to serve for the last 10 years as the director of missions for the Orange County Southern Baptist Association, an association of 149 churches that was made up of 12 different language groups representing 51 different nationalities. And so we were celebrating international missions right there in California. In fact, our state convention motto for years was reaching the world in California. But the Lord put it on my heart when a position, this position, came available here in Colorado to surrender a resume and trust the Lord in the process, and the Lord brought us back to Colorado. And so this is home for us. In fact, I tell people when they ask me, so where did you come from just before this? I say, well, California, but I'm from here. I mean, you understand, I have to do that. Being a Californian is probably worse than being from the Front Range and coming over here to the Western Slope. In fact, I've had many meetings across the state where I've met with pastors and church leaders and associations for the last 9 months. So I just finished my first 9 months here. We have put 45,000 miles on the car just traveling in Colorado. And where I've traveled across the the state and gotten to know pastors and church leaders again, preaching in a number of different churches, what I have heard from them is a sense of isolation. There's been a sense of isolation across the state. We've come through some pretty tough last couple of years. And there's been some lack of connectivity with other churches. And so the Lord just gave me this passion for churches. When I was in California, it developed when I moved from a single, responsible for a single church to working together with 149 churches, that I came to this conviction that every church matters. It doesn't matter its size. It doesn't matter its location. It doesn't matter its culture. It doesn't matter the language that it speaks. God loves every single part of the body of Christ, and I want to be a part of that. Amen. And I want to be a part of working together and bringing collaboration to Colorado. And so when Pastor Dennis asked me to come and share about the work that we do together, the work of the convention and the work that we do together as Southern Baptists, it was a part of my heartbeat, because I want to be about how can we work better together. In fact, the Colorado Baptist General Convention mission statement is that we exist to collaborate with churches and associations for accelerated gospel impact. It's all about the gospel. And the gospel is what unites us, regardless of what our background is, regardless of what we did before we came to Christ. The gospel unites us together. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here this morning and to share with you. And I want to move into the text. And so it was read for you this morning, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. But I want to focus in on one verse of that passage this morning, and it's verse 6. And the text I'm reading from is the New American Standard, but it says, "So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." As I thought about this time and this message, the Lord brought me to this passage. You see, it's a passage that I think speaks to why it's important for us to cooperate together. But there's a much larger context, and some of that was shared in the reading of the passage this morning, and I appreciated that. There's a much larger context to this than just this one verse, which I kind of want to walk through before we get to that passage. And it is, as was shared already, that Nehemiah was the cupbearer for Artaxerxes, and he lived in the citadel of Susa. Chapter 1 tells us. And the book of Nehemiah really is about how God used one man to further his purpose by uniting a people together. And so as Nehemiah was living in the citadel of Susa, he was there because years prior to that, the people of Israel were disobedient, and they were living out that punishment that God had rent upon his people. And Nehemiah, though he was physically removed from Jerusalem, his heart was still there. And in chapter 1, Nehemiah learns about the difficulties that the people are going through, and how the walls are burnt down, and how they are a disgrace among the people around them. And it burdened his heart. The Lord put a burden upon his heart for caring for the city of Jerusalem, the place where God's name rested. And so it was this conviction that would not let him have sleep. It was this conviction that Nehemiah prayed over and cried over for days and fasted, that the Lord might answer his prayer, that he would go back and be a part of the rebuilding of the city, regardless of what that personal cost to him may be. And so he began praying that God would open the opportunity for him to return. And the Lord in chapter 2 answered his prayer and made a way for Nehemiah to go back and gave him the blessing and building supplies that he could go back and do the work. And Nehemiah went and he looked across the city. And at night we are told that he mounted his animal and he went and he took a survey of the wall and to see what it was like. But he didn't share with anybody yet what the vision and the passion that the Lord had placed on his heart. And so Nehemiah finally, when he realized just how devastating the condition was, he brought the people together. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah finally casts the vision. He shares with the people. He says this, "You see the bad situation we are in." I want you to note that. Nehemiah came from the citadel of Susa, and yet he comes to Jerusalem and he unites his heart with the hearts of the people. It's not look at the bad condition that you are in. Notice the inclusive language. Look at the, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And here's how the people answered in verse 18. They said, let us arise and build. A people who had no hope now are catching the vision of hope. God's not done with us. God wants to do more with us. God wants to use us for His glory. Let us be a part of that. Let us all arise and build. And then in chapter 3, you begin to see just exactly how this work took place. As the vision was caught and the people began to shoulder the work, chapter 3 tells us how it was carried out. And I want you to see chapter 3 as the epitome of this language that we probably overuse, but I can't think of better terminology to use. We're really better together. We're better when we work together. And here is a picture of that. I want you to notice how the people worked in front of their own homes and how they joined forces together to do this work that God had laid upon Nehemiah's heart. The text tells us that Eliashib, the high priest, led a charge to rebuild the sheep gate. And the men of Jericho, now listen to this, worked right alongside him that they might work on the walls in front of their house. The sons of Berechiah worked next to the son of Benah. And Shalem, the half ruler, or the ruler of half of the district of Jerusalem, repaired a section in front of his home with the help of his daughters. And then we are told Benjamin and Hashub repaired the sections right in front of their homes. Here's what I want you to see. That in this text, it tells us that rulers work next to the priests, and the judges work next to the nobles, and the goldsmiths work next to the perfume makers. People from different backgrounds, different levels of influence in community, different socioeconomic standings, all came together to work to accomplish the task that the Lord had laid upon their hearts. Their work was unity without uniformity. Does that make sense? It was unity without uniformity. They didn't all have to think the same. They didn't all have to behave the same. They didn't all have to come from the same place, but they were united on a work together, and the work was accomplished. And we move down this, and so read in verses 1 through 4, or 1 through 3 this morning of chapter 4, we see that they were a reproach and that they were receiving ridicule from the rulers of the land around them. What are these poor Jews doing? What are these feeble people doing? Even if what they built, a fox were to jump upon, it would fall apart. But they stayed the course. And verse 6 says, "So we rebuilt, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." I think that's incredibly motivating, because the people had a mind to work. You see, I've entitled my message this morning, "A Work in Progress." This is the description of a work in progress. These people came together, the work wasn't completed, and they didn't start it by themselves. They were building or rebuilding upon a foundation that had been laid by somebody else, but they were working together that they might accomplish this purpose. As I came to Colorado, I realized that I come to a work in progress. There are other people who have laid the foundation and have built upon that foundation that has existed. There were people that God had spoken to, that He directed and that He encouraged them on the work that they should do, that we might all be united together. As I travel around the state, one of the things that I realize is that this logo, Colorado Baptist, has been identified as the convention office. But I try to tell people it's not about the convention office. All of us are Colorado Baptists. Not just a reference to a location in Littleton, Colorado. Everywhere there is an expression of Christ, everywhere there is a gospel witness across this state that is a part of the Colorado Baptist General Convention, all of us are Colorado Baptists together. And I think it's important for us to think about that and to realize that there's a work in progress. The work's not finished, it continues, but it takes all of us to do this. When I left in November of 2021, California, when I left, we had our annual associational meeting and our gathering of pastors and leaders that I've worked with for 10 years. I shared with them in my final message before them, don't forget what the Lord has done through us together. Because God had done a work and people had been reached for Christ. And people who speak a language that I don't speak were reached for Christ because we worked together, because we gave together. I reminded them that we're in this together, that God is going to accomplish the results that He wants for His own glory, but we have the responsibility to be obedient. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is from the parable of the sower, which is in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, where it says, the sower goes out and sows. How the seed grows, he does not know. There's a picture of partnership in that. That God calls His children to grab the seed bag and to go in the field and spread seed. We don't have to know how it grows. We just have to do our part. The Holy Spirit's a part of causing the germination of the seed, causing the seed that we throw to grow. God has a part, we have a part. God is always faithful with His part, and the question is, will we be faithful with our part? And so, partnership. God established partnership, and partnership is what we unite with. I encourage them to stay together because we've learned, if we've learned in 10 years nothing, we've learned this, we're better when we work together. We can accomplish more in the kingdom if we will unite together to do that. And so it is here that we see this partnership in wider circles, circles that go beyond geographic locations. It's important to partner with those around you, but it's a greater importance to partner with those that are even in further circles away so that we can accomplish more with the gospel. And so I just want to share with you a few things that I think that are invaluable when it comes to this idea of partnership and being together and working together. And you get the privilege of serving under or being under a pastor who he and his wife served 19 years on the international mission field. Before they ever knew you, you had a part in the ministry that they were serving. You were partners together even before you knew who they were. Because we work together as Southern Baptists, 3,650 missionaries serve on the international mission field. They serve on the international mission field and they reach people that we could never reach. They live in places that we'll never go. They speak languages that we will never speak. But we have an equal part in seeing people come to Christ all over the world because we partner together. In fact, in Anaheim at the annual convention this past June, 25 new missionary families were appointed to the mission field. And that doesn't just happen. That happens because we partner together. I want you to think about this. Sometimes we think about missions as the endeavor of the International Mission Board, but it's not. Because the International Mission Board doesn't print money. They don't have businesses on the side that then support the missionaries that go over field. You know where that money comes from? It comes from partners. It comes from you. You give to the cooperative program, you give to Lottie Moon mission offering at Christmas time, and that money goes to cover the costs of those missionaries that are overseas. It's the local church working together who are supporting the work of those that are reaching people we can't reach. And so this work is accomplished only because partner churches have a mind to work. You see the connection to the work in Jerusalem with Nehemiah? It only happens because we have a mind to work. Because we work together, 740 new churches were planted in 2021 because the North American Mission Board is the one that coordinates that work. There were several new churches that have been planted already this year in Colorado because partner churches give. Sometimes we think the North American Mission Board is the ones in charge of church planting. They do that, they pay for that, they take care of all of that. That's not so. They don't have money of their own. They're not printing money just like the IMB. They don't have side businesses just like the IMB doesn't. That money, those resources come because churches partner together. They partner together through the cooperative program and through the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And that money goes to help so that churches can be planted in areas where there's either no gospel witness or the gospel witness is underserved in those areas. But we as individuals can't go and do that, but we can be a part of it. I mean, some of you may feel called to church plant sometime, someday, and maybe the Lord will raise you up and put you in a place and give you a passion for a particular area. But you can't be there by yourself. It takes all of us working together to be a part of that. There are areas in our country and state which need a gospel witness, and so church planting is important. So that this church in Cedar Edge, Colorado, can help reach Spanish-speaking people in Amana Vista, or can help reach Russian-speaking people in Sacramento, California, or can help reach Native American peoples living in Arizona or New Mexico. You get the point. You have a reach beyond Cedar Edge because we partner together. And this work is only accomplished because partner churches have a mind to work and are willing to pull together. As I've traveled across Colorado, I've heard churches again talking about isolation, disconnected from the convention, disconnected from one another and from churches in their area. Many of you will remember that in 2010, the North American Mission Board made a transition where they stopped supporting associational ministries, missions, so that they could do more church planting. And while that hurt, I think there was a call for that. There was a need for that because so many places were underserved. But it still left a big hole here in Colorado. And so one of the things that I know that happened here on the West is that the West formed the Western Coalition Office. And so there were churches that were partnering together just on the West. In fact, the sense of, and I heard someone say this today, the sense of we can feel isolated, like we're not important, we're all the way over here on the West, everything else happens over in Denver. I shared with the pastor and Sherry this morning that as I've traveled around, I've very quickly heard people say, Brother Mike, you realize that we're not Denver. I said, yes, I realize that. And then very quickly followed with, you know, Brother Mike, we thank Jesus we're not Denver. Say, I get it. But that isolation still exists, that sense of we're way out here, we're way over here, there's a long place between churches. And so I heard pastors talk about that. And the Western Coalition was an attempt to bridge that gap, to fill that void. And yet there was still a sense of isolation. So the Colorado Baptist General Convention began working in partnership with associations so that we could put into every association what we're calling a regional director. Your regional director is David Smith. David Smith was a pastor in Uncompahgre Association. He was at NUCLA. He and Tracy have felt the Lord calling them to this role where they're partnering together and they're working together with churches, not only in this association, but in Mesa Verde. And they're doing that because we're partnering together. You see, the regional directors spend the majority of their time on their field. They're from that area. They speak the language of that area so that someone from Denver doesn't come over and they say, hey, you don't really understand us. These are people from the area. And what we're trying to do at the convention is to blur the lines between what the convention does and what the local association does so that churches see us as partners. All the church sees is we're working together. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? We're not working against one another. We're not fighting with one another. We're partnering together with one another. And so the convention comes in and makes it possible, along in partnership with the association, so that a full-time person can be on the field, from the field, addressing the matters of the field. But at the same time, that person's serving as a Colorado Baptist General Convention staff person. So we come together once a month, usually the first Monday, Tuesday of every month, and we share. Tell us about the needs. We talk to David. David, tell us about the needs of Uncle Padre. And he shares, this church is without a pastor. This church has a need. And then we talk about how can we create strategy that's going to benefit the field because it's informed by the field. And collaboration is my heartbeat. We're a room, a team of peers. Mike Proud doesn't have Trump call on anything that we do. We do it together because that's the better way to do things, because we're all equal, because we're all important, because we're all valued. And so it is that as we do that, we're decentralizing the state office, so we're pushing resources down to the field. There have been times where we've heard about churches that have been without a pastor for over a year or had a conflict, and we hear about it a year later. That's unacceptable. It's because there's not been anybody on the field to respond to those needs. Well, now we're making that happen. But I want you to understand something. The Colorado Baptist General Convention doesn't print its own money. The Colorado Baptist General Convention doesn't have side businesses. We're able to do those things because you partner together, because we're partnering together, because you give to the cooperative program, because you give to the Colorado Mission Offering. We're able to do these things working together. It is because the partner churches have a mind to work. In a sense of kingdom work, the work is never done. That's the idea of this, that we're a work in progress. It's never done. We're working together. We always need one another. We need people that are partnering from different backgrounds, with different languages, with different cultures, because we have a state that's made up of people from different backgrounds and different languages and different cultures, that we can all be a part of the work of the gospel, but its expressions are carried out in different places. But we can support that. We can be a part of that. You see, the work of the gospel requires all of us. It requires the executive working next to the hourly worker. It requires the contractor working next to the educator. It requires Grand Mesa Southern Baptist Church standing alongside Iglesia Bautista Ebenezer in Edgewater, Colorado. It requires the First Hmong Church of Broomfield standing next to New Heights Baptist Church in Pueblo. And on we could go, but it is about a family working in partnership together. And every need of a partner, of this partnership, is possible if the people have a mind to work. So in our text, verse 6, so we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. This is a passage that should describe who we are as Colorado Baptists. All of us. It should describe who we are. In fact, it must describe who we are if we're going to reach people for Christ. This is a state that has over 90% of unchurched. Unchurched people, 90%. The West is Newark area, where there are so many people that are that are not believers. And it's reflected in our culture, it's reflected in our politics, it's reflected in all of those other things. But that's the work that we've been called to, is reaching those people. We have to engage in the work. It means we have to engage in the work, all of us together. What happened when the people had a mind to work? What happened when all the people joined their shoulders together and work? The whole wall was joined to half its height. This work will never be finished until the Lord Jesus comes, but it's a work that we have to be about. It's a work that we have to be faithful to. So here's, why is it important for us to partner? Because there are still more people that need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And all of us have a part. Not one person that's in the body of Christ is excused from the work. We all have a work. We all have a job. We have different jobs, but we all have a part to play. And so the question this morning is that the Lord has called us to this work. He's called us to be His ambassadors. The question for us is, will we put our hands to the work? I'm going to ask you if you would just bow for just a time of silence, and then I'm going to pray. Just a time of thinking about that role, thinking about that partnership, thinking about that we really are better together and what God is calling you to do. Father, again, I thank You for Your love for us. I thank You for the witness of this church, for these who are here, who have served in Your field for so long. And I pray, Father, that You will continue this work, and there will be a bigger vision of what it is that we really are doing together. Sometimes we can just be focused right where we are, and we think that everybody thinks like us, everybody looks like us. But Lord, the kingdom is so much bigger, and we can be a part of that by partnering together. Father, I realize that there may be one who is here this morning that's never given his or her life to Christ. And I pray, Father, that you will pierce the heart of that individual, that after the song service or during the song service, that Father, whoever You move on that person, that they'll find one of the individuals who are here or pastor and just visit with them. And just share the burden of their heart, Father, what You are saying to them now. And Lord, I pray that You will pour over us Your favor, that we might be Your workers, strong in the field, not giving up, continuing on the work that You've called us to do. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.